And that had the word she repeating a bunch of times, and I could kind of handle it similarly, but I was only halfway through the poem. But in that instance, last night, I was so tired and jet lagged from flying earlier in the day that I was mispronouncing words left and right, and so I read the poem 3 times only because I needed to get it exactly right. And the weird thing was, I was adding syllables to words. I couldn't believe it. I'm used to messing up a word to try getting it slightly wrong somehow, but I never messed up a word by adding something. What should I do? Are you still working on these?
They kind of stopped for a while. Typing them up is exciting. And,
this is an odd technical question, but are they, in your mind, are they actually reproducible in a book form?
Well, I don't know. I think one of the reasons they ended up the way they have, in an inexpensive way to hand out, is I've written many times a version of an introduction in which I request that they be read this way. I think they are best read. Mm-hmm. And no matter how well I wrote it, no matter what I figured out to say, I open up books and I don't read the introductions. And I just start reading poem left to write all those words just like that. And the idea that they would go out into the world sold by someone who, like, that they would go through lots of people who would assume they would read them in that way, would always end up, like, removed from the process space. So I think it became hard to imagine them in a book. I kept making it bigger, like, read these like this, or like warning, or like some way of doing it. I thought, oh, actually, I do it like this, and I sell them for $2 or something. I can get people to have them, share them with friends, tell them how to make them, and that maybe they can get out into the world that way. It's funny, I love thinking about books and possibilities, and that's one of the things that your book is the sense that I've now seen it. I've seen lots of people hold it because they sold it and all this sort of thing. And it's just like, boom, all of a sudden they start going into what I think is like your hypnosis. You're about to kind of put them into this space. And it would be hard to get someone to turn a book around like that. You know? And the book just asks you to get into that space.
I should have printed a little apology from the book.
You all see it.
Well, when I was asked about the reproducibility question, it's because it's an unusual question, and I did actually experience it with these poems. And I wrote 102 or 103 of these rectangles between roughly October, November 2010 until April, maybe. 2011, my daughter June was born March 14th in 2011, and I wrote a little while longer after she was born, which I only know because of the way time is
a certain point in the book, because I have no idea of when anything happened in those first few months after she was born. I really didn't know if these poems could exist for anybody other than me. And I got so much pleasure out of them, and I knew that they were, it was going to be tricky to even just try to type them up, you know. And then I got so much pleasure out of it. It was like this whole idea of them having a public future, like that level of thought and pressure was off for a lot of the composition of them, which was great in a lot of ways, you know, indirectly. Then I went to Philadelphia. You could see Conrad somehow had a reading series going at a pizza parlor. He invited me to come read. And I brought the notebook with me and I started turning the notebook around. I mean, try and read my own handwriting. And I realized that they work, that they could work in that space. Although I have to say, if you're ever in the pizza parlor giving a reading, it's very strange to look up at the audience after you finish reading a poem and it's like 30 people and they're all got pieces of pizza in front of them. There was a massive rainstorm that day too.
into any kind of screen form until the summer of 2014, when I had the chance to be somewhere where I could access InDesign and actually go freaking laying out. And then I would occasionally get asked for poems, and I would send these, but I had to send them as four long lines. That's what I did. I typed them up as four long lines, turning the page on the right, just so that I could see them and take them in readings and be able to read them without taking my notebook out and having to get all wet again. And so it was this very incremental process towards getting them to the book. So I actually considered the book a variation on the original poems and not exactly the poems themselves. And I was also just want to say I was reading this book by Frank Stella called Working Space. When I was reading other things and works by my mother and Fred Moten's book, P. Jenkins, which specifically was influencing the music in some of the early poems. And in Working Space, Stella was talking about, it's a set of lectures he gave in the late 80s where he was trying to reconcile, really for himself, but he put it sort of forward for everybody to have to deal with it, abstraction and figuration. How to deal with pictorial space while working with an abstract model. And I was reading that book, and that was informing on some level the way I was thinking about the space. Not in an illustrative way in relation to writing the same, but in a parallel way to how I was attempting to understand what I thought it was saying. But I was interested in this idea of pictorial space, and then having that sort of manifested as a blank space that the poem was wrapped around as a column of writing close.
So the initial figure notebook was a kind of bigger.
Yeah, it was a big 8.5 by 9 by 12 schedule.
Have you done other poems like this on other science pages?
No. Even when I've had people do it, even with the little kids. We're doing it on a long size paper that's a little hard to read. But no, it's okay. Just see, that's a good question. It's 252.
So I have a question for you, Anselm. Because what I noticed, I was reading some of your poems before here, and I noticed how they kind of like almost make it zigzag as you're reading them. And I was going to ask you why.
It's not easy to answer in short order, and I could probably talk to you more about it later too if you want. For me, it's very much it's work by work, or it's poem by poem. I mean, the thing about getting to the rectangles is so informed by everything else that I've done leading up to it, that to talk about it as if it's abstracted from that continuum is slightly off kilter, but sometimes I just can't have a perfect orderly margin because I'm writing out of some kind of anxious or unfocused, not unfocused, but if I'm writing out of a turbulent time in my life or in my head, then sometimes the form for me has to reflect that or it has to parallel that or complement that or come out of it. And I know that's not always going to be perceivable, but it's more of a guiding point. And I wrote a long poem put together a long poem out of notation that I took in the months after September 11th in 2001, because I lived in New York most of my life. And when I was putting that poem together, I could not have a regular margin for that poem. I had to sneak down the page. Everything was too upsetting, and the poem couldn't feel like it had that much control. I know not everybody reads margins that way, but whatever. Like every element can be put in some kind of micro-relief question.
and so this is kind of random, but I found it so much more satisfying when there was a choice to overlap a little bit beyond the quote-unquote end point and into the beginning of the next loop. And just wondering if you find that more satisfying than just ending at the last word, and if there are other versions of where overlapping points you might choose for certain of those poems.
Yeah, I'm trying to read them from as many different spots and overlap as possible. And the spots I've chosen often, it's because I do want to emphasize that phrase or the feeling space that phrase is opening up, or the poem's opened up, have it land there. These poems have no punctuation other than commas, and I really like to concentrate on the diction and foreground the diction and foreground the sound in the ways I wanted to. And so I know that, you know, it doesn't, they're not very prosy. And for some folks, the risk of reading them is the risk that they're really out on the edge of comprehensibility in places. And I'm more than okay with that, but that's not everybody's deal. So I do also, by reading through them, get to just keep them in the room a little longer, and maybe not to have them be explained, but just to hear what's going together and why the order is that way. And you know, they're poems that are made out of words and glimpses, and so it's a succession of glimpses. But the material is continuous and solid. So my hope is that they have a lot of flexibility.
You just said these poems are made out of glimpses, and both you guys, don't you just have it used like writing as a verb, like I write my poems, but like this is constructed by writing. I made these poems in my relationship. I do them, and I'm just curious about your choice of using words like made or do or constructed rather than I wrote these.
I think that wouldn't be the case for most of the poems that I write, you know. And I think that if we were sitting talking about a bunch of other ones, I'd be much more likely to offhand talk about them differently. And I think it is, for me at least, I just did this, like I was putting something in and I'm doing this thing, and that there's something about, I feel like this feels, I'm listening to them, they're happening in the same way that a lot of writing happens for me, which is a kind of loose space, but I feel like I'm doing something that's closer to constructing or making than writing. I don't know why I usually separate things.
I would say for me, they're interchangeable terms of writing and making. I mean, the funny thing about these poems is that I just sat down and wrote them. I just sat down and wrote. Everything I'd ever learned how to do had taken me back to some like early starting point where I could just basically sit down and do this and write fast. And along the way, I realized I've been practicing writing fast for 20 plus years, which is not actually a long time. But I've been practicing writing fast. It wasn't automatic writing. I mean, it had, you know, all of that, it was like that, but it wasn't about trying to break free from constraints of grammar or anything. It was that I've been doing this for a long time, and I knew how to do it, and actually I could bring everything down to some plain basics in order to get to write the poems. But then all this sort of weirdness about recreating and reproducing them, and that felt very much like making it, I guess. But also, I would say over the last 7 or 8 years, most of the reading that I've been doing on practice and art making has been writing by painters and art historians, and not so much by writers. I mean, I read a lot of by writers. But that's sort of the language of art making in general, and painting specifically, is sort of all in here.
I see a lot more, several more questions. We're actually at the end of our time. We do have a 15-minute refreshment in the book sales grid. also on the council, that there will be